And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
As you know, you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme. Our theme today is potpourri, because all three of my guests have interesting subjects, no two of which are related to one another. My first guest was a venture capitalist with a strong track record of successful technology startups. He shared with us what leaders need to know to be unusually excellent. My second guest believed that there was a legal cartel in this country backing risky new drugs and deadly vaccines. She blew the whistle on their efforts, discrediting and other antibiotics that were out there from her documentary, Pharma Whores. My next guest is a member of political royalty here in the United States. Few families have had an impact on American politics that his family has had. His family name ranks right up there with other American political dynasties, including the Adams, the Roosevelts, the Kennedys, and the Bushes. We'll talk to Adlai Stevenson III about his family's enduring legacy on the American political scene. As always, if you want to join in the conversation or talk to Adlai Stevenson, you can call us at 639-0008. Adlai Stevenson represented the state of Illinois in the United States Senate from the years 1970 to 1981. Senator Stevenson won the 1970 special election to fill Everett Dirksen's unexpired term. Senator Dirksen died unexpectedly in office. Early on, Senator Stevenson introduced legislation requiring an end to all foreign aid to South Vietnam by June 30th, 1975. Stevenson was encouraged to run for president in 1976 by Mayor Richard Daley of Chicago, but he declined, and he was also one of the finalists for the vice presidency at the Democratic Convention for that particular year. Following his career in the Senate, Senator Stevenson ran unsuccessfully for governor of Illinois in 1982 and 86. Since retiring from politics, Senator Stevenson has been active in business and cultural relations with East Asia. He's the chairman of SC&M, which is an investment management corporation, and he's the co-chairman of Hui Med Capital Company, which is the first Chinese-American investment bank. Welcome to the show, Senator Stevenson. How are you today?
Thank you. Just fine.
Well, thank you for being our special guest today. We're honored to have you on the show.
Yeah, it's my honor.
Well, let me just say right off the bat, I'd be remiss if I didn't thank you for your years of service to the United States. I applaud anybody who goes out there and serves this country as you did in the U.S. Senate for 11 years. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
And as I said at the outset, you come from political royalty in this country, like Adams, Kennedys, and Bush. And when I listen to your pedigree, it's pretty amazing. Your great-great-grandfather, Adlai Stevenson I, that's your great-grandfather, Adlai Stevenson I, was Vice President of the United States. Your grandfather, Louis G. Stevenson, was Illinois Secretary of State. Your father, Adlai E. Stevenson II, was Governor of Illinois, Ambassador to the United Nations, and two-time presidential nominee for the Democratic Party. And in my doing my research, I found out that actor McLean Stevenson is also your second cousin once removed. So one of these stories that's untold in my introduction is the impact that your family had on getting Abraham Lincoln elected to the presidency. Tell my listeners about that story.
Yes, that's another generation, the first. Jesse Fell, in my book, the Black Book, which attempts to recover American politics and history as we experienced it for five generations. Jesse Fell is also the exemplary citizen. He founded the first public university beyond the Appalachians. He founded a local newspaper. He founded towns and orphanages. He planted trees. He made money speculating land and gave everything back. In the Black Book, service to community and service to country is every citizen's duty. But that included politics. He was secretary of the Republican Party in 1860. He knew Abraham Lincoln well. In fact, he proposed the Lincoln-Douglas debates to Stephen A. Douglas. Those debates, seven of them, 3 hours each, essentially on one subject, slavery in the territories, shaped America's future. But they also brought Abraham Lincoln to the nation's attention. And and with that having been done, Lincoln gave Jesse Fell, great-great-grandfather Jesse Fell, his autobiographical sketch, which I've recorded in this book, which Skell then used to promote Lincoln's candidacy for the presidency. He was then charged with the Illinois State Convention in 1860 with organizing his delegation to the National Convention for Abraham Lincoln. Without the citizen, there might not have been Abraham Lincoln, the president. And he never asked anything. He's overlooked, forgotten by history.
Wow, what an incredible story. We're talking to Adlai Stevenson, everybody, U.S. Senator from Illinois. And in that answer, Senator Stevenson, you mentioned the Black Book. Now, for listeners who are just tuning in, could you go into a little bit more detail? What is the Black Book, and what is that as part of the legacy of your family?
Well, the Black Book was started by great-grandfather Adlai I, vice president, also a former member of Congress and county prosecutor. It was a binder. And he used it to record aphorisms, anecdotes, bits of wit and wisdom, material for his speeches. Abraham Lincoln did the same thing. He may have been inspired to do this by Abraham Lincoln, but we kept it. And this Black Book expanded over the generations as we stuffed it with material for our speeches. And as word spread, the material for the Black Book came in from around the world as America's universe, expanded. So I've named my book the Black Book, but the Black Book, this binder, is just one source of material which I pulled together over some 8-9 years to try to record history, and especially to record the values that we knew in our society and in our politics over those many years, as a way of reminding people of what created this country and the values which I'm afraid today are undermining it.
Wow. Well, share with us, if you will, Senator Stevenson, what are some of those lessons, what are some of those values that are contained in the book, and how are they different from values that we hold today?
Well, I can give you illustrations.
Sure.
Of politics and of values, they sort of go together. My father's campaign for governor, he was nominated behind closed doors by the politicians. He'd been an architect of the United Nations, a bureaucrat in the early New Deal, a senior official during World War II in the Navy Department. He had no political base, but he was nominated for governor. His nomination didn't cost him a penny. His whole campaign, I was the driver, cost $157,000.
Wow. that won't even buy you one ad today.
It gets better, but people didn't pay to play. The patronage was in the menial jobs. He had some 30,000, Republicans that he could replace with good Democrats, and that gave him some political power. But he recruited first-rate professionals and committed, to head the commissions and the departments of state government. They didn't pay to play. They sacrificed to serve, and they cleaned up. They reformed Illinois state government. Now, this he'd already was, fairly well known in the world, but this record concluding with the governor brought him to the world's attention, the nation's attention. And he was drafted for president at the 1952 convention. He didn't pay a penny to get nominated. And here are the values for an example. For him, politics, the objective of a democracy was not winning, not acquiring power. The purpose of a campaign was to inform the people. Trust the people with the truth, all the truth, he said. The objective was to inform the people so they could make a sound decision. He took out half-hour blocks of time on national television to lay out his program. And he continues. He lost, of course, to the returning war hero, Dwight D. Eisenhower, but he was renominated after five contested primaries in 1956. And during those campaigns and the interregnum, he was the titular leader of the party. He laid out the programmatic foundation for the new frontier and the great society. the late Arthur Schlesinger, the famous historian who served with Kennedy and with my father, said Kennedy was the executor of the Stevenson Revolution. Now, Eisenhower had run on the promise of change, but it was the Stevenson, the defeat of Stevenson who delivered it, including the beginning, for example, of the strategic arms limitations process, Medicare, federal aid to education. It all goes back to his campaign.
Wow. We had no idea. This is fascinating. We're talking to Senator Adlai Stevenson from the state of Illinois. And Senator Stevenson, I have to ask you, you're talking about the change in politics over time. Has politics today become too divisive? Is it too polarized?
Well, I'm going to try to answer you, if I may, with by example.
Sure.
Which is kind of what I think, as did Lincoln, that aphorism and example can speak more eloquently than words. The Senate today, and by the way, I've been a state representative and a state treasurer before going to the Senate. I wanted to start at the bottom after I returned from the Marine Corps in Korea. But the Senate I entered in 1970 bears no resemblance to the Senate today. I don't remember in the Senate I entered any partisanship. I mean, literally. We, as Democrats and Republicans, did not divide on issues along party lines. Not during Watergate, not during Vietnam, not during our efforts to respond to the Arab oil boycott, not during the threat from China and its Japan and its invasion of our. Not on anything. There was no incivility. We revered the Senate, and we worked together as one. And to support our president, reason reigned. Towards the end of that transitional decade, it began to change. And that's ironic, because it's in part owing to some of our reforms. Some had unintended consequences, and I, by the way, was chairman of the Ethics Committee and chairman of the committee that reorganized the Senate. One of our reforms is to open all the doors.
I see.
Let in the sunshine. But what happened? We let in the lobbyists.
And that was the downfall. Yeah.
Well, then the money starts pouring in.
Sure.
And the media isn't always there, and the media is becoming more and more electronic and more expensive. And then at the very end, in the 80s, as ideologues were leaving Beijing, ideologues began, arriving in Washington.
Now, Senator Stevenson, let me interrupt you. You have got the phones lit up. We've got Gary with a question for you. Gary, hi. Thanks for listening to Brainstorming with Billy Brain. You have a question for Senator Stevenson?
Yes, I have a great question.
Sure, fire away.
Lincoln with his grandfather. I was wondering, I was reading in a book, it was like a teacher's book, it was a teacher's supplement, and it said that after the war that there was a certain party wanted to put the South in six districts, and then there was another party that, like Johnson, to return all the rights of the states back to federal government and state government. I wanted to know what was your opinion of that and that part of history.
All right, Gary, thank you for the question. I'm not sure Senator Stevenson's going to be an expert on that, but we'll let him field it. Senator Stevenson?
I'm not quite that old. I don't go quite that far back. What I do remember is that those debates which I referred to were just over extension of slavery into the territories. Lincoln was a conciliator. He wasn't looking for war. He wanted to preserve the Union. And at that time, that meant preserving slavery in the South. He was not the abolitionist. He was not waging war to abolish slavery in the South. He was he had a moral abhorrence for slavery. But to preserve the Union, he was just making the test prohibition against the extension of slavery. He changed, over times, but Lincoln was a great a great conciliator. And much of what the questioner, also mentioned, I just have no knowledge of.
Well, thank you for trying to answer. Gary, thank you for the call. Appreciate your being a loyal listener here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Senator Stevenson, I want to return back to what you were saying about the 1970 Senate and how it doesn't resemble today's Senate. There was very little partisanship. Now, 1970 was a pivotal year in American politics because it was the beginning of Watergate. And I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to push back a little bit here. You say there was no partisanship there, that everybody was here to serve the president. And that's good, and that's true. However, things did start to get a little bit partisan when we called for the impeachment of Richard Nixon at that time. And then things did break down along party lines, wouldn't you say?
That's not the way I recall it. And I can't remember how I put this exactly. I didn't remember any partisanship. Reason reigned. Nixon, you remember, was despised in the Congress. His constituency was out in the states. He was on the hard roll circuit, making friends in the state, central committees. He had very few, very few admirers in the Senate. Now the impeachment process, as I recall it, was begun in the House by Congressman. Was a Rodesta, I think, of New Jersey, and I, honest to goodness, I don't recall any complaints of partisanship then.
Hmm.
In the Senate, it was led the committee, the Watergate Committee, Republicans and Democrats, was led by that famous North Carolina Senator Sam Ervin.
Yes.
Who, he's not a liberal Democrat. This is a Southern Democrat, a great gentleman. And once again, I may be mistaken, but I don't remember even during those impeachment proceedings any real partisanship. And of course, he resigned long before he was impeached.
Right. Yes. But I think that was a pivotal time in American history, Senator Stevenson, because that was the beginning of the change that we see today. All of a sudden, in the minds of the American public, people started to change their opinions about government, about the trust that they placed in government. And would you say that has really was the beginning of the end or beginning of the change that you see in the Senate and in the Congress today?
Well, I think you put your finger on a good point. That was a transitional, decade. Attitudes did begin to sour, but maybe for multiple reasons. One was the impeachment and the failure of Nixon. And I must say, in my family, his failure came as no surprise. I can remember getting up in the caucus, Democratic caucus, and just warning them after what my father had been through at the hands of this man, to be prepared. He'd corrupted every campaign he taught. It just seemed natural to me that he would have corrupted the presidency. But the Watergate, and remember, we had Vietnam going too,
right?
Which became a dismaying, demoralizing experience for the country. And Watergate, and that then precipitated, because of the concerns about the government and our own concerns about our own integrity, to the reforms, which I was just beginning to, I mentioned the one example of opening up all of the doors. That had unintended consequences. Then the money started pouring in. And the dialogue began cheapening and getting more expensive. All of this must have, combined to begin to create a much more skeptical public attitude towards our government. So I think you're right, but it's probably a convergence of events,
yeah, and
including, ironically, reforms that we were enacting as a way of trying to restore confidence.
Wow. And Senator Stevenson, I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there. If people are interested in learning more about you, where would you direct them to go to learn more about you, to learn more about your little black book?
My website, www.adlaynumber3.com. Adlay3.com, and the three is a number. And you can get, you know, me, and that's an easy way to order the black book.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Senator Stevenson.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it, and thank you for being our special guest.
Thanks.